Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I don't know how you're a fan of those Chiefs, buddy.
I don't know.
I've been rooting for Philly the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
They suck so bad.
I saw a meme.
Bad Super Bowl to watch, man.
I saw a meme that was like, the caption of the meme was the illusion of choice. And it was two hallways that merge into one. Okay. And on one hallway, it's Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And on the other hallway, it's Eagles win the Super Bowl. But then down at the end of the hallway, after they merge together, it says, doesn't matter, Philly's still going to destroy their own city.
That's so true.
Have you seen the videos?
Dude,
I mean, they destroyed that place.
I don't understand democratic cities, like big cities.
Yeah.
They don't make any sense to me. Look, peaceful protests. Well, we burned it down and took people's small businesses and threw them out on the street.
Yeah.
Like, we flipped over cops. You guys know you paid for that stuff,
right?
It's
a victimless crime because they have insurance. Yeah, the victims are all of the people paying the insurance rates.
It makes no sense to me, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I understand celebrating and having a good time and all that kind of stuff. It's out of control.
Yeah.
It's out of control. I don't remember. So, they won the Super Bowl when Nick Foles was their quarterback. Who was their coach? Peterson?
No, that would have been Andy Reid.
No. Doug Peterson. And then Doug Peterson went down to Jacksonville after he won a Super Bowl. Like, when they won that one, they burned the city to the ground. It's like, what are you guys doing?
I don't know.
I mean, understand it.
I saw something funny the other day that was like, all right, new reality TV show. Undercover UFC fighters go into Philly and wear the opposing team's jersey.
That would, dude, you'd make $1 billion in 5 minutes.
I mean, there's,
can you imagine?
There's video after video of opposing fans, and those Philly fans, I mean,
oh yeah,
they're stripping their clothes off of them.
Oh yeah,
and they don't get physical until the opposing fan gets physical and tries to protect themselves.
I can tell you right now, if I had my pistol and like someone's yanking my shirt off, everyone's getting shot.
Yeah, they'll steal
I'll
your hats. They take your gloves.
I'll kill them all.
Oh man, that's just
shoot them in the foot.
I'm not going to Philly games. I'll tell you that.
No,
like I go to games to enjoy them. Like, I don't go for the fan rivalry. You
we
know
can't.
What I mean?
You know, we can't talk too much shit. Last year, we had someone get killed at our celebration for the Super Bowl.
Well, yes,
and
but
yes, it was two gangsters.
That was gang violence that took place in the crowd. That had nothing to do with sports other than the fact that,
well, they were congregating because of sports.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in Philly. They're congregating. There's just like we had a few gangsters and everyone is a gangster.
Yeah.
It's
that was
so the scales up.
That was gang on gang violence where innocent bystanders were shot. Whereas this is
awful.
This is Philly's fans wearing Philly jerseys like torching their fucking city.
I don't understand
crazy.
It, dude. It makes no sense. Yeah. I mean, good for them. Like, you know,
I mean,
kicking ass, taking names.
I'm not
they
knocking you
it.
For it. I'm
they
just saying it's
it,
fucking
it's
crazy.
Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Stop.
And boy, did they put an ass whipping on the Chiefs. There's no way around it.
They killed them, man.
That
they fucking killed them.
They shut down our O-line so hard.
My dad, so he came over. We watched it at my brother's.
Yeah.
Right? It's a great place to have parties and just get togethers. Just a little family thing. Before the halftime show, he just got up, put all his stuff on. He's like, I'll see you guys later.
Yep.
He just left.
Yep.
He's like, I'm fucking leaving.
We were at a party in a warehouse, and it was half
shit.
Empty by halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah. The here's the, like, on the Chiefs opening drive, they had that one questionable call. Was it or was it not, right?
Which one?
What was it, a PI?
Oh, the offensive pass interference on the other team?
Yeah.
It's first off, it is pass interference, and it's illegal hands to the face.
Yeah.
It's the same call either way.
Yeah.
But then they got.
They had
another one.
The very next drive, it flipped the other way.
Yeah.
But then there was one of the strip sacks on Mahomes where they forced him to fumble. Ball was,
you know, not quite coming forward yet. And so somebody got his arm, and then some other defender, I mean, totally, like, manhandled his face.
I don't know what the rule is there, but I think once it's a live ball,
yeah,
if it's a fumble, that's not a penalty anymore.
Right.
I don't think he's protected anymore.
Well, and I'm super glad that they didn't even throw a flag on that, because that just raises even more of the speculation that, oh, Mahomes is being protected by the refs.
Yeah.
You know, Mahomes is one of the advocates of, like, no, let's let the guys play.
Yeah.
You know, but he's got to play the game that's called. So,
it was it was a shit show.
It was, yeah, that's
it
the...
It was a shit
I made a post at halftime that said, we're either about to watch one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history. The greatest comeback's 25. Coming back
down
from 20,
at halftime, 17?
24.
We were down 24 at halftime?
I think so. It was either... We were down 24 at one point.
After about halfway through the second quarter, I put some down. I was like, man, fuck.
Yeah. And so that post was like, we're either about ready to watch one of the greatest comebacks ever, or we're about ready to watch one of the greatest teams ever have their worst game in 4 years.
Mm.
And that's exactly what it was. But
yeah, it was bad.
This is why I hold more excitement for the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship games than the Super Bowl.
I mean, I think that the championship weekend is the best weekend because there's four great teams.
Yes.
They're in there. They've seen each other.
They're more evenly matched teams because they're in their own conferences. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. There's been some great Super Bowls the last 10 years.
There have. Like, the Super Bowl either has a chance to be really fucking boring.
Like it was.
Or really, I don't know. That was not boring if you're a Philly fan.
Dude, I'm not talking about Philly fans. I'm talking about like if you're a Denver Broncos, someone out of our division. How about if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan and you're like, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. You're like, this sucks.
Yeah, they didn't get to watch a slugfest for sure.
No, the commercial.
It's a one-sided
sucked.
Ass beating. Yeah. But like, what was the Super Bowl? I was within the last 4 or 5 years. The score was like 6-9. I mean, like,
Rams.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it was Rams and somebody. It was 10-6, I think, final or something like that.
Yeah, like, want a game.
It was a snooze fest.
I want a game where it's going to come down to the final 3 minutes of the game. Like, you're on your edge the whole time.
Yeah, and that's why they throw so many defensive penalties, too. Or why they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they want offense to perpetuate the sport.
Yeah, like I say, I was more excited about because I like watching football for the competition. I like watching it for the strategy and for the competition. And the moment one team has blown the other out with coaching, with skill level, with preparation and everything.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
It's hard to continue to watch it. It's like, all right, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm happy for the Eagles guys to blow them out. Like they stopped Mahomes and probably one of the greater teams.
Their defensive.
I
hate the MVP going to Hurts. Because their defense, those four defensive linemen earned it. Like, those guys were the MVP.
Yeah,
they were amazing. Sweat was awesome.
Yeah.
Just was a wrecking ball.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It was something to watch for sure. And you know, obviously David and I are Chiefs fans, but it still shows that even the guys that do great still have absolutely horrible performances. So.
And what does that mean? Get back on the horse next year.
Just get back on the horse and go again.
I love how people are always like, oh, you know, the Monday morning quarterback, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do? It's like, well, they're going to get in their Ferraris, and they're going to drive around and forget about it. Then they're going to get in their Jets, and then they're going to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks, and they're going to get rejuvenated, and then they're going to come back home in their mansions and be like, life ain't that bad. We did get embarrassed. Back at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Their lives aren't over.
No.
All it does is spark them for next year.
Well, and it's not like your life's over, career's over because you came in runner-up out of 32 teams. You know what I mean? Like,
and they do it, and I'm not just talking Chiefs or whatever. They do it every year.
Yeah.
Every year it's like, oh, how do you come back from that? What do you mean? You were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're making millions of dollars. Get your life together.
And that's,
$350 for the shitbags on the sideline. Like, come on.
For a few years, I've always kind of felt like the prize, obviously the total prize is winning the Super Bowl, but that overshadows the fact that the prize is making it to the Super Bowl. Because they're two different conferences, it makes it a chance that the Super Bowl's, for all we know, Philly was like, this was a breeze. Like, we didn't even have to pull out half of the tools we prepared to pull out. You know what I mean? So, like, that could have been a cakewalk for Philly. And that kind of takes away some of the accolades that come from it.
I will say, like, you could tell Series 1, they wanted it.
Oh, yeah.
Our guys were even, like...
Dude, they had to get into, like, the third quarter before they ever even punted.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going for it on fourth and four and making it.
Yeah. Talking about giving 110% and the other team's giving 80.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder if some of the Bills-Chiefs game for the championship, like, they kind of maybe thought that was their Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, maybe. I don't know.
As a fan from my perspective, I thought that was more than this. Like,
yeah,
I enjoyed watching that more than the Super Bowl.
I thought the winner of that game, regardless, was going to roll over Philly or Washington. That's what I thought.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about being wrong.
I thought as long as we hold Saquon to under 100 yards, we got this game in the bag.
We
still got blown out.
The defense played well. For as long as they could.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell they were gassed.
They were gassed.
Like, it was over.
Yep.
It was all on the offense. The offense lost that game. The coaches lost that game.
Yep.
Like, I will say this. If we don't get some tackle help on the O-line, we're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Them dudes
are fucked.
Yep. I would not be surprised if we have a completely new O-line next year.
No. Well, they have. So, when
Tooney's contract is not up.
So, when Tooney is. So, he's a guard. He was only playing tackle because we had no tackle.
Right.
So Tooney is a Pro Bowl guard. We have a Pro Bowl center and a Pro Bowl guard. The two tackles are the problem.
But where are their contracts at, though?
So our right tackle, Taylor, his is up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's awful.
He's the most penalized player in the league.
He's going to get paid. Like, there's a team that's going to need him. So he's going somewhere. So they've got to find two fucking tackles.
Yeah.
And Caliendo, the backup guard, who played... when Tooney moved out, his contract's up too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what's funny is, so Juwan Taylor is the most penalized player in the league. I think it's a coaching thing.
I think he's slow stepping off the ball.
Well, he's early. It's stepping off the ball.
He has to be early because he's slow.
Because
when the
he's
ball
slow.
Is snapped.
I see.
That's why.
I think
it's awful.
I'm under the impression he's being coached to do that. And sometimes you get it a little too aggressive, but I think...
The penalties, you're right, are from the coaching, but they're telling him that because if he doesn't do it, he's getting killed.
He's getting burned.
He's getting killed.
Huh.
And you always put your best outside rusher on your weakest man.
Yeah.
So they had to do something.
Yep.
Anyways, that's enough football talk.
Yeah.
It was sad and depressing. Do you want to talk about this stupid dog you got?
Stupid? Don't call my dog stupid.
She doesn't know I'm talking about her. I shouldn't say stupid dog. I should say the stupid decision you made to
stupid
get another
decision.
Damn dog.
Go.
How about that? You're right. I shouldn't have been unfair to the dog.
Added to the house yesterday. So they...
what's the matter with you, dude?
The local animal control here found this dog like roving around by itself in Walmart. Probably dumped. And
cheers, old Jack.
And they posted it on the community awareness page saying, anybody know the owner?
Of course,
and
that's how they got you.
Of course, you know, a whole bunch of comments of like, oh my gosh, I'll take her. Well, I actually messaged the animal control, and I'm like, if nobody claims her, like, I would be interested in learning if she, like, what the process looks like. And they said, well, you're sixth in line. There's five other people in front of you if you want to put your name on the list. And I asked Danielle, and she said no. And so then I text the animal control back, and I said, please put me on the list. And so they did.
If she comes home with a hairless cat, I'm going to steal all your animals. Yeah. I'm serious.
So so they put my name on the list, and then like 2.5-3 weeks later, they call me, and they're like, hey, just letting you know, you're up. The previous five people were no-call, no-shows.
Yeah, because people are drunk on Facebook, and they're like, I want this dog.
Yeah, everyone,
and then their spouse gets home, and they're like, "It's fuck no.
Yeah, it's easy to comment and say you want it, and then whenever it's actually, right?
Yeah.
And they waited their 2 weeks for the owner to come around. The dog wasn't chipped, or the dog wasn't spayed, or anything like that. And so they chip her, and they spay her, and everything, and this is part of your tax dollars going to work, and it was $50 to adopt her, and I'm like, deal. And so Mason and I went and checked her out, and I told Danielle... because Danielle runs my calendar. She runs my schedule, so she knows where I'm at all the time.
She's scheduling
she
calls.
To.
She's like, no, fuck him. He ain't going to get that done.
No, so I told her, I'm like, hey, you see that blocked out area in my schedule? And she's like, yeah, what's that mean? I'm like, well, I didn't want to tell you, and I'm not going to tell you until after I'm back. And she's like, this is sketchy sounding. And I'm like, well, I'm taking your son, so it's not like I'm cheating on you. And she was like,
she probably would have rather you cheated on her.
Yeah. So she's like, now I'm even more curious. And I'm like, well, you're just going to have to be. Mm. And so finally, like, I'm getting ready to walk out of the house with Mason to go check this dog out. And she was like, where are you going? And I'm like, we're going to go check out that dog. And she was like, you're wasting your damn time. And I'm like, probably. But Mason said he wants to talk with me about something anyway, so we're just going to use it as a place to have a good conversation.
Let me ask you a question. What's the truth? Were you planning on bringing that dog home the whole time?
No, not that day. So this was...
Mitchell.
No, this was like last week.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, I know that, yeah, dogs
crazy.
Can look...
Crazy, yeah, we know.
Yeah, I know dogs can look crazy and or look cute in photos and then actually be crazy, but like Mason and I went and hung out with it for like 45 minutes, and...
It tried to bite me four times when I came over.
Well... She's got, yes. So
yeah. Like, what the hell?
She is a tiny dog. I don't know what she weighs. Maybe
15.
Ah, no way.
Oh yeah,
not 15. Even 15.
Probably 15.
I'm gonna say 10.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But so she's part Chihuahua, part Jack Russell Terrier, and maybe a little bit of wiener dog. Maybe.
She's a mutt.
Yeah, she's a mutt.
She's like from the dumpster.
Yeah.
Like, who
but,
knows?
She definitely wants to find one person to be her person, and that's like her little sanctuary. And so we all decided, like, this is my dog, so we all decided, like, Danielle's gonna pretty much ignore her as much as possible. Let's, and the kids and everything.
Did
so that
you
way
just say that's your dog? Gunner is your dog. There's a picture of him on the wall.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Gunner. I come over, he's just laying there, no attention.
Well, so,
you know, I mean, what the fuck.
So Gunner's days are numbered.
You keep saying that.
I know.
You've been saying that for 2 years.
But as he's taking this ride downhill even further, he's becoming less social. He doesn't want you to lay, like he used to want you to lay on him next to him on the floor and like cuddle with him. And now he's like, get away from me.
I just, before I came upstairs, I went over to him. He rolled over, wagged his tail, I pet his belly for a while right next to him.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
2-3 minutes.
I'm not buying
it. And then
your
he's
bullshit
out. And he's like, he'll get up and walk away from you. He's like, I just want to be left alone. I'm an old man. Leave me alone.
He's like me.
Yeah.
Don't call
an
me.
An old man that lives in a country with too many guns.
That's damn right.
So yeah, we got a new dog. We're going to see what happens with that. We named her Piper. Obviously plumbing
Piper
related. Piper. Yep.
Okay.
So
I'm not gonna,
what would you rather me name her?
I don't know.
Like a stripper name? Mercedes?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Sierra.
Diamond.
Diamond.
Diamond. Piper. Piper.
Piper.
Piper. Then I want a Piper.
Yeah. So far she's pretty good.
No, she's not. She bit me.
Well, again, you just barged into her house.
It's not her fucking house.
I know.
This is more my house than that dog.
Still,
if you die, I'm taking this house.
And at that moment, I had had her for like 24 hours. So she'll
she's
calm
insane
down. She'll learn who you are and
yeah,
be no big deal.
Half wiener dog, half chihuahua, half something else. I know that's more than 100% people.
Mini beast.
Something. Something's
she's
going
all
on
with mini
that
beast.
Oh, my God.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
So I want to talk about two things.
Good.
First, because this will be fairly quick, it's a hot topic right now. Google has a glitch, or at least everyone thinks it's a glitch right now. Everyone's watching their total review count disappear. And what's funny is for the companies that have less than a large number of reviews, they can actually go through and manually count them and realize they're not actually losing reviews. There's a glitch in Google's counter, and for some reason, their counter is removing your review total every night. So when I went to bed on Thursday night last week, we had 1,119 Google reviews. And Friday morning was my VA. I was meeting with my VA and going through our download, and she said we actually lost Google reviews overnight. And I said, well, I've been like, we have a reinstatement play, a Google review reinstatement play that we run.
And it works too.
And it works.
Lots of guys in TradeWinds use it too.
Yeah. And if you guys email us, you can email askmitch@mitchsmedley.com. You can email mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com. And you can email david@tradewindsconsulting.com. And that's TRADEWINS. Trade Winds.
It's in the description.
Yeah. You can email us and we'll shoot you the link to reinstate those things. We may even be able to put the link in the description of this show. But it's a link to a how-to on how to reinstate missing Google reviews. Because before this incident, Google would remove reviews. They would just randomly crawl somebody's reviews and determine, their AI determines that some of these reviews are illegitimate, and they'll just pull them. And, you know, it's, one would think that it's all in good faith, because it's not like they're shutting your account down. It's not like they're removing all of your reviews. But for years, you've noticed Google, like somebody would have 1,100 reviews, and then the next day they've got 1,095.
Yeah.
And Google pulled five of them that they thought were illegitimate.
Yeah.
And if you know they're legitimate, you can handle that. And there's a process to get to file a grievance on individual reviews. But this process that we'll get you a link for, it's for when Google's like pulling your reviews. And I run this process every quarter, and every time we get 20 or 30 reviews that Google has been holding for a quarter, and or over the last quarter.
Yeah.
And another indicator that this might be happening to you is you'll have customers that will be like, I left you a 5-star review and you never see it.
Yeah.
And it's Google for some reason felt their review was illegitimate. And so it's there, but they don't display it. They don't show it. They don't do anything. And so that's where this reinstatement play comes around. However, this issue that we're having in the last week is much different. Because the reviews aren't disappearing. It's just the total amount is changing.
There's got to be a disconnect between the AI and the actual reviews. You know what I mean? Like, it's flagging them, so it brings the total number count down, but it's not actually pulling the review off.
Well, I think
there's got to be some kind of disconnect in there.
I think it's a combination of several factors. And none of these freak me out, by the way. But a while ago, Google
weird
was...
Weird caveat to say.
Well, I'm just like... A lot of people could talk about reviews disappearing and be all doom and gloom, like it's going to tank your business, and it's not.
Well,
it's happening to everybody.
They're going
to
come back.
Right? Everyone's losing, on average, 15 to 25% of their reviews at this moment. Everyone's lost.
Yeah.
The
TradeWinds guys.
I want to say they've lost 5 to 20% of their reviews.
Yeah.
We're down right at 20% on our reviews. We've lost 200 reviews out of 1,119. So... So I think it's a couple of things. It's either, so Google LSA, local services ads, they were looking at merging their reviews with Google Business Profile reviews. And essentially they're the same, but an LSA review was like a review on steroids. It held more weight.
Yeah.
And so they're doing away with those reviews. And so like right now, if I go to my Google LSA, I have 1,034 reviews. But if I go to my Google Business Profile, I've got like 987 or something.
Okay.
And so it's affecting the totals differently on those two different sites. So I think it could be a Google to Google LSA conversation connection issue, or
disconnect there. Yeah, maybe.
Or they are actually getting ready to remove reviews and they already know which ones they're going to remove. They haven't done it yet, but they're reflecting of the new total. And we won't know that for a little while.
That is a little bit scary because that's a lot of reviews. And yeah. Your reviews are legit.
Right.
I'm just using you as an example.
Yeah,
right?
Verify the legitimacy of every single review because we backtrack it to the technician that was on the job. So.
What's a little even scarier than that is, so the guys in TradeWinds that are having the same issue, like their reviews are legitimate also. Mm-hmm. Like what we teach to all of them.
Yeah.
So that means they're having legitimate reviews pulled down.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, and a lot of it too is just the AI sensitivities turned up a little too much, right? The
Maybe.
Checks and balances or the ones and zeros that they've coded into the AI, they've got it a little too aggressive.
Yeah, the real problem is those poor bastards at Google are going to have to, like, if it's a big issue and they're going to have to go back, they're either just going to have to reinstate them all, mm-hmm. or they're going to have to go through and look at them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, that's a task.
Well, and again, I mean, it's all a free service, right? Like Google reviews are free. Yeah, you're paying for Google LSA. Yeah, you're paying for Google Business Suite.
Nothing's free.
But the reviews are free. And so on a free platform, they can kind of do whatever they want.
I mean, yes, but people are paying for the LSA and to be on Google because of the Google reviews that make them legitimate. So, yeah.
Well, and the other compounding thing too is, like, your review score and your review volume affects your placement on LSA.
Yeah.
And so if you're losing reviews, you stand a chance to lose your place on LSA, unless all of your competitors are also losing an equal amount of reviews. If everybody loses 20% of the reviews, then it affects everybody the same, and no position changes.
No, but it's a gut punch.
But if I've lost, if I had 1,100 reviews and I've lost 200, and you had 1,100 reviews and you only lost 50, well, now you might place up above me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of unknowns, but at this point, there's really not enough to freak out about because nobody knows exactly what's wrong. Nobody can even talk to Google to even learn.
It's interesting to keep an eye on, though, to see what's happening. This is the unknown of AI. Like, it's not a scary thing, don't get me wrong, but the unknowns of learning how it's going to work, how is it going to go through systems and change things.
Yeah.
Like, this is only the first things.
It's kind of like sending your kid out on training wheels or without training wheels for the first time. We don't know how it's going to go. A kid could crash and burn and split his head open, or he could hit that pedal stroke just right and find his balance.
Take off, baby.
And now he's taken off, right? And that's where AI is working to figure all that out. So.
Yeah. What do they say that? Learning pain? Growing pain?
Yeah, it's a growing pain.
Yeah.
Yep. But
I was thinking about Layla riding her bike. Messed my whole brain up. Yeah. I was like, oh, I remember.
Yep.
A little proud dad moment, you know.
So, if you're losing Google reviews right now, and especially if you have a lower number of them, you know, sub 200-300 reviews where you can actually hand count them pretty quick, go through and hand count them, because everybody that I've asked to go through and hand count them finds out.
Oh, yeah, we actually have them.
We actually have all of our reviews. For some reason, the total's just reflecting different. And so I was reading something this morning from a guy that I trust, and it's just his speculation. He's thinking that it's a glitch between, like, what – the number that you've dropped is your actual Google Business reviews, and the numbers that's missing on the total is the LSA reviews. But we don't have very many LSA reviews at all. And we've lost 200 on our total count. I know for a fact.
I was just about to say, you don't have 200 LSA reviews.
I don't have 200 LSA reviews. Right. So
we've talked about that before.
I don't think that's correct, but I'm imagining the truth is somewhere around that area. It's something to do with the merge of Google Business Profile and LSA. And something to do with possibly they've got those reviews set off to the side that they flagged, and they just haven't taken them off your profile yet.
Or maybe they've got them set off to the side because they flagged them to be reviewed, and there was a glitch in the number counter. Like, hey, we don't want these to come off. We're just pulling them here to look at them, and they're going to look at them. They're going to go right back on there.
Yeah, who knows?
And that number count's going to go back up.
Yeah.
That actually makes more sense. It's usually something simple, right?
It's possible. It's possible.
I bet that's it. People are freaking out, though. Like, you could see it on Facebook. Oh, I lost 400. I lost it. Oh, I lost. Dude, relax.
Here,
don't panic, man.
So, two more things I want to point out with this. The first thing.
We'll move on after this.
Yeah. The first thing is, if you do this reinstatement play that we're going to get you a link for, if you do this reinstatement play and you've previously argued to get malicious or inauthentic reviews removed from your profile, when you do this reinstatement play, they will likely come back on your profile. So we went through that hate group review attack a little over a year ago, and then I've had a couple of other just random one-star reviews that are inaccurate. Like, I mean, they're legit. Like, it's
people are mad at you, and then
it's somebody I've upset, and they're trying to take it out of my business instead of me personally.
Yeah,
right.
You do piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, like we got a one-star review because I was driving at like 80 miles an hour down the highway one time. We got a one-star review because this dude wanted to bomb our YouTube page with, like, I shit you not, like 74 comments by himself in one day. And each of his comments was no more than three words. And you had to read his comments in order to actually see what he was saying. Because he would like type three words of a sentence and then hit
send. He knew what he was going to say when he was like, blah, 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 send, blah, 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 send, blah, 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 send, blah, blah, send.
And so, we got his review removed because it doesn't pertain to an encounter with our business, right?
Yeah.
But then whenever we ran the reinstatement play the last time, his review came right back.
Oh, so really?
Google doesn't trash them. They put it like they hold them all in this.
They're in the cloud.
This little reserve envelope, and then whenever you ask for all your reviews to get reinstated, they give you all of them, even the ones that you've had removed.
What was that movie with Cameron Diaz, and the guy? They're married. They make a little at home porno video between a married couple, and then it somehow gets sent to the cloud. And it's on the cloud, and then they had given all their friends iPads for like...
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and so they were like, I don't understand. No one understands the cloud.
There's a movie called Sex Tape. Is that it?
That may be it.
I'll have to look
at
it.
And they go and try to get all the iPads back because they don't want to see that.
I'm not a huge comedy person, but for some reason, old Cameron Diaz movies, like that comedy hits me. And it's not her. It's not her.
No, she's just horrible.
So like any movie with Will Ferrell in it is usually not my cup of tea.
No, that's
because
not your
Will
comedy.
Ferrell kind of comedy is not my jam.
No, you don't like
right?
it. That is actually a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, like I'll say
no one understands the cloud.
Old School and Wedding Crashers were probably Will Ferrell was in Wedding Crashers, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He was in Old School. Isn't he in Wedding Crashers?
Yes, he did have a cameo in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mom, the meatloaf!
Yeah.
Fuck!
So like, those are the two most Will Ferrell-ish movies I will watch.
Yeah, but they aren't Will Ferrell movies.
I don't like Elf.
He's just in them.
You don't like
Elf?
I don't like Talladega Nights. It's just not my jam of comedy. It's that comedy just doesn't hit me.
I agree, but those two movies are like the two that I watch, and I'm like, that's good.
Do you not like
Step Brothers?
Uh-uh.
You talk about putting your nuts on my drum set all the time.
There's good quotable lines from it, but I can't watch the whole
movie.
That's
what makes it funny.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason to watch a Will Ferrell movie. And actually, Step Brothers is the other. What's the other guy's name? I can't remember. See, this is how we don't have a producer now. Not that he was fucking looking anything up before. But
oh, he'd tell you who the other guy was in Step Brothers.
Yeah, he probably knows who he is. That guy's hilarious.
Yeah.
That guy is hilarious.
They're pretty funny.
I got us off track.
The one other thing that I wanted to hit on Google reviews. I do have a funny thing to get to on the comedy thing here in a second.
Oh, God.
Other thing that I wanted to get to on Google reviews is it's really funny to watch guys who previously didn't think Google... Like you have companies that have been in business for 5 years and have 43 Google reviews.
Yeah.
So obviously they never put importance on Google reviews. But now all of a sudden that Google comes through and they're like, you don't have 43, you have 32.
Those guys are losing their shit.
And those guys are like, Google stole 10 reviews! And it's like, dude, you didn't even care about Google reviews before they did this. So don't act like you care now.
I mean, like, it took him 5 years to get to 43. Like, he may be super proud of those, dude, and that's why he's butthurt. He just doesn't know that it's a shit number.
You could get those 10 reviews back in a week. Like,
not if you're a shitty contractor.
Yeah.
Like, those are his soul. Yeah. Like, they took a piece of his soul.
I guess.
I don't know.
So
you don't know how important those are to him.
No. Nope.
Like those 10 could have been from his family. Could have. Like, you know.
That was my mom
they
and
took
my stepmom.
My mama's review.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
It'd be like voters. That review was from somebody who has died
shit.
12 years ago.
We're not getting into that today.
You don't want to talk Doge?
I would love to talk Doge. You told me before the show, no political or no stuff.
Well, I didn't say no. I just, the topics that I had weren't really political, but.
We talked political last time a little bit. We're not going to do that today.
One other thing. You and Janine like going to comedy shows?
We have been to a few. We don't go to a lot. But we do like going. You know where we used to go all the time? Is we used to go to late night theater. It was off Broadway.
Yep.
Everyone in the cast. This used to be by Bazooka. It may still be there.
Yeah.
It was everyone that was in the show, produced the show, did the show was gay. Everyone, men, women, whatever, like that was their whole thing.
Yep.
Dude, some of the funniest live entertainment, it only set maybe 50, but it was like a legit theater. Some of the best live entertainment I've ever seen was at that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, we're old now. We don't get to go.
So there's a comedian that's coming into town. And what is his name?
Big guy?
No.
New guy?
No. Tall, small? Skinny, darker skinned, but I don't know if he's black or not. Jay something?
I don't know. What's the point? Are you going? Are you asking me to go?
Am
I being invited to something for the first time ever in the history of the show?
Seeing if you want to go.
Oh, probably not.
Do
I have to go with you? We spend a lot of time together. What's his name? Come on.
Is this it?
We're just waiting on you.
I know. Give me a second.
It's okay. You want me to tell a story?
So he's a comedian.
Not that long.
All of his show is kind of half-assed sung. And he's
lost
got,
me at that. I lost all interest at that.
He's got a guy on a keyboard, and he's got auto-tune playing the entire time. And he has some repetition through the show. Like, he'll do this same little song in every show, then the crowd kind of knows it, so they'll sing along.
It comes
along.
Back up throughout the show.
But he'll go and ask people questions in the crowd.
Oh, God.
And he's got his auto-tune on.
I'm interested now.
And so then he'll hand you the phone, hand you the microphone, and he'll be like, you know, who is this? And they'll be like, that's my girlfriend. And it's like auto-tune, right? And then they'll be like, what are you going to do later? And then he'll be like, well, with any luck, we're going to fuck, you know? And it's all auto-tuned, like half-stepping up and down. It is hilarious.
I just found this guy a little while ago. I do love original stuff. Like, that's the problem now, is there's so much stuff out there, it's hard to be original.
Right.
But I never heard of that. I may be interested.
I think
maybe.
His name is Jay.
Jay.
J-A-Y something.
Google, Mitch,
videos.
Do you not know how to run the Google thing? Just Google auto-tune singing comedian.
There we go. Okay. I couldn't think of a...
Auto-tune singing comedian. Crowd work.
Comedian with...
People that think I'm smart are like, man, Dave's... No, I just know how to work Google.
Morgan J. There it is.
See?
Morgan J. So...
God damn.
Check out.
I'm so good.
Check out. If you guys haven't heard of him, check
Fine,
out.
I'll look it up.
Obviously, he's like no affiliation to the show at all, but he is coming around to the Kansas City area, and a lot of his shows get sold out, and his Kansas City show isn't sold out yet. And I'm trying to figure out a way to go, or trying to figure out who to go with.
Where is he playing?
I don't know.
Just had the phone open. It didn't have upcoming shows right there. You click on it. He's probably a Madrid guy, be my guess right now. Or the comedy club. Probably at the comedy club.
So what's funny is he's all over KC. It looks like the Midland is what
he's playing saying. Midland?
Yeah.
That's a big club.
He's a big.
That's big.
I mean, it's big.
For here.
Yeah. But.
I will say this. If he's playing the Midland, it's probably worth a show to go to.
Oh, yeah.
They don't book no bullshit.
Yeah. No, it's like, I'm excited to go. It'll be pretty fun, but
here, how about
check
this?
Out his stuff.
Hey, everybody that's watching on YouTube, when was it?
When
was the show?
Well, you asking me all this shit, and I don't...
Well, you... When was the show?
February 28th.
Oh, shit, that's...
It's coming up.
We can't go on the 28th.
Why?
Watch his brain work.
That's the night before the event.
There it is.
Let's do it.
No!
When's it start?
We got guys coming in town. We're supposed to be at the
7 p.m. We could totally go.
We're supposed to be at the hotel.
Damn it. Why do you gotta bust my bubble?
Mr. Live and Dime on my calendar. My calendar's all right here, baby. Well, do you see how quick
I
picked that up? Boom. I knew what it was.
As soon as I would have booked schedule, I would have gone to my calendar. This is why I live and dime on my calendar, by the way.
You'd have booked it and then been like, I can't go.
No. Fuck. Anytime I'm going to book anything, I always check my calendar first. Mm-hmm. Like the moment I'm going to book it, right? Now,
we haven't had a good argument in a while. Let's argue about something.
Now,
I drank that monster and I'm fucking bouncing off the walls now.
Now, I will say, like, there's a lot of times I'll verbally commit to something, but then I got to come back and be like, no, I checked my calendar and I'm busy.
Yeah.
So,
Janine and I are going to, we're going to see ZZ Ward.
I don't even know who that is.
I know, you wouldn't. Great musician.
That's not ZZ Top, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, she's a female singer.
Okay.
She's awesome. She's playing at the Madrid April.
The
April,
odds of a ZZ singer, you know, I was
second,
like
something
maybe
like that.
Is this ZZ Top a band and ZZ Ward was part of it? Like I didn't know.
No, Of course not.
I don't know a She's lot great. About music.
So. You know what? I don't anymore either. Dude, you want to hear something messed up?
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
It's gonna date me bad. I didn't know one song during the halftime song.
So here's what's crazy.
And I am not anti hip hop rap.
No, right.
You know me. The only things I don't listen to, I don't listen to death metal. Like, I'll listen to some pretty hard metal.
Yep.
I don't listen to death metal, and I don't listen to gangster rap. But I will listen to hip hop. Everything.
Right.
I listen to everything.
Yep.
He's an older hip hop artist.
Yeah,
I didn't know any of those fucking songs,
dude. We're about 8 years beyond his break point, right?
You would have thought I'd know. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I didn't.
I felt old.
During the show, I could take it or leave it, right? Because, like,
the show was shit.
Really, the guys.
Is what it was.
The guys that are going to love the show, or they're going to know the artist, they're going to anticipate songs, they're going to expect all of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know the artist. I didn't anticipate any songs or anything. I could take it or leave it. It wasn't any big deal. The more I've gotten to learn about the show, the more I've learned that it was actually very creative and very well done.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying.
The story that he told and him dissing on Drake and everything else, like, it was pretty neat.
Hip-hop artist yelling at another hip-hop.
It's not anything new. One of my aversions to rap is I can't understand the music as fast as they're talking it. And so, like, I get into rap for the feel and the sound of the voice, but I don't necessarily know what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
And so I never would have gotten this without all of the back-end stuff. But you want to know my biggest takeaway from the halftime show?
Is that there weren't any white people in it?
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I saw it all over the internet. Not you. Other people were like, hey, if it was an all-white show and there weren't any black guys out there dancing, everyone would have been up in arms.
Well, like, here's this cares? Big push to get rid of DEI, right? DEI is basically, like, there's a lot of people lying about what DEI is. DEI is not handicap wheelchair ramps. DEI is not,
yeah, no shit.
Is not braille signage in the hallway. Okay, that's Equal Opportunity Employer. That's American with Disabilities Act. There's a whole lot of other shit that covers that. DEI is mandating that certain workplaces and certain performances and certain bodies of people resemble a population split of the population.
In a certain way.
In a certain way. So if 10% of Americans are black, then DEI would say 10% of your workforce has to be black.
Yes.
Right? And so now, they're very clever with how they do it, because requiring a certain percentage of your workforce to be a certain race is against the law. And so this DEI thing is like this whole, let's heavily suggest it, but not make it illegal. In other words, if you meet certain DEI metrics, you might get some extra perks, extra offers, and everything else. This is why I left the local Chamber of Commerce. The local Chamber of Commerce would give you extra mileage on your social media, and on their social media, they came up with their own pride sticker.
Oh, God.
It was a combination of their logo and a pride flag. And they say, these are free, and if you display it in the front window of your business, we'll showcase you. That is segregation.
That's manipulation and segregation.
That is, we're treating some businesses differently than others simply because of race.
How is that not illegal?
It's voluntary.
No, the chamber's getting money from taxpayers.
No, the chamber is a business. The chamber is very similar to, like...
Don't they get paid by the city?
No, there is no connection to the city whatsoever.
I thought that they got a few tax dollars from the city to maintain.
The chamber is a national business with local branches. And it's like territories.
Hmm.
And you only get one territory per city. But The chamber is very, it's very much like the Better Business Bureau, but more relational, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm still in other chambers, but I am not in our local chamber anymore simply because of that. And they put out, like, they always put out these emails, and they came up with this book club. And literally the first book for the for their book club, it was DEI book club.
I don't understand what is the matter with people.
And so then the first book they came out with was, it was called Gender Queer, a Memoir. And they wanted all the Blue Springs Chamber of Commerce residents or members to read this book and then have a meeting about, like, what do we think this book is? And it's like, what does gender queer have anything to do with succeeding in business?
Nothing.
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 Not a single thing.
Back it up. So you're in the chamber. Do they send out an email that says, hey, we think we're going to do this book club part, or it's just like the book club is part of the chamber,
they want you to be saying, in it? Hey, we're going to do this new cool thing called book club, and this is our first book. Gender Queer, a Memoir.
You probably were excited, like, oh, hey, I would love business. Yeah. You love business.
Are we going to talk about, like, Good to Great? Are we going to talk about, like, 10X?
Yeah, like, things let's like talk that.
No.
They have that.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with business.
Adios.
Did you send him a reply email?
No, I just simply quit.
You missed a golden opportunity.
Why? All of the chamber members.
No, I don't mean to drag them down, but to create a very detailed, thought-out email about how it is anti-business and that there isn't a place for this in business,
right?
And how much mileage we could have got out of their responses.
They wouldn't have responded. They would have just said, like, again, it's a whole CYA thing.
Yes, they would have, because they are. That's how they are.
Yeah.
They're like little Karen sitting at home doing nothing, and they're like, oh, fuck this motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's exactly how they are.
So I made a post after the halftime show saying, you know what my biggest takeaway from the halftime show is I think it proves that DEI is dead.
I hope DEI is dead.
Because there's no diversity in that show, there's no equity in that show, and there was no inclusion in that show.
If Kendrick Lamar doesn't want to have white people dancing in his show, I don't care.
No. Doesn't hurt my feelings a bit.
No, if that's what he wants, who gives a shit? Let him do him. I don't care. But the problem is, it's not a two-way street.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. You can be racist one way and not racist the other, how they look at, like, I don't care.
What's funny is I made that post and most people got it. Most people understood that, like, yeah, he's not butthurt that there weren't white people in it. He's actually happy. Like, how cool is it that we can stage a performance and not have to worry about race? Like, the most qualified applicants get the job, and if it takes all black people on that stage to prove or to sell the story he's trying to sell, then that's what it takes.
Yeah, if it takes all black guys to choreograph that and the white guys or white gals couldn't cut it, better.
And when you learn a little bit more about the story he was trying to tell, he really couldn't have a white guy in there, right?
I don't know what the story was.
The story was it was like a kind of a walkthrough of, like, how much of America was built on black people, but yet we're still divided. So, like, there was a part of it where everybody was wearing red, white, and blue, and when they all stood together, they resembled a flag.
Yeah, they were all red, white, and blue. Yeah.
Did you notice it was divided in the middle, and Kendrick Lamar was standing right in the middle of it?
Yeah, but I didn't. Take anything from it.
Right, I didn't at the time, but now that I've read all of the things afterwards, talking about, like, here's all, you know, the,
that makes more sense.
Yeah, this is the story that he was trying to tell. It makes great sense, and I'm like, this proves my point even more. DEI is fucking dead, and I love it.
If you want to know why racism is still a problem in this country, look to white liberal losers.
Yeah.
And people, white liberal government officials. That's why race is a problem in this country.
Yeah. They keep cramming it down your throat.
The rest of us don't give a shit if you're black.
It's a problem because I say it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem because I say it's a problem. No, it's not. I don't care. Yep. It doesn't fucking matter. There were no white people in the performance. I don't care.
So
it doesn't fucking matter.
So my post got shared enough where it got put into the view of some narrow-minded blacks, right? Some narrow-minded African-Americans. And they would read the post and they just commented on it. And they were like, if you don't like people that have a different color skin than you, then you could just say that. And I'm like, what about this post says I don't like people with a different color skin? It proves DEI is dead, and I fucking love it. Like, we shouldn't have had to have white people on the thing.
If he doesn't want white people in there, who cares?
Right. Well,
we're not all going to get on and be like, Kendrick, you better have some white people on that stage with you dancing. No, we don't care. No one cares.
And so I've got a former guy that I used to manage. He's never been an employee of mine at our company, but I've managed him at other companies.
Okay.
And he is not American ethnicity. And I have a feeling his immediate family might not be legal in the U.S.
Okay.
Because he takes immigration incredibly close to his heart. And so I made a post.
What does that have to do with the Kendrick Lamar crap?
Well, I made a post 2 or 3 weeks ago talking about are they going to do with all these deportations that Trump's doing, are they going to have numbers crawling at the bottom of all the news channels showing the immigration deportations like they did with the COVID deaths, right?
Yeah, it was in poor taste, but it was funny.
I mean, it's funny, right?
Yeah, it was funny.
He got on it and tried chewing me out for this and tried saying I'm wrong for thinking illegals need to get out of here or whatever the case may be. Well, then, whenever I made the comment or the post about the DEI, the halftime show kind of proves DEI is dead, he gets on it and there's one other guy that gets on there and starts trying to drag me for being a racist and they got obliterated. But he was like, Mitch doesn't even have a single minority working for him.
He would if one would apply. Oh, and you had Marcus.
We've had plenty of minorities working for us.
Yeah,
and that's here's
true.
The thing.
Forgot about Marcus.
We keep any employee that matches our core values and puts forth the effort.
Yeah.
I don't care what color you are. I don't care what religion you are.
No.
If you match our core values and you put forth, and our core values, by the way, I don't want to say like our core values are slighted, like KKK is a core value. No, that's not it. Yeah. Our core values are gratitude, integrity.
I don't think anyone would have went there.
Right. Well, that's...
you're right. People are crazy.
Yeah, this is how the far left works, is they lie with language. Oh, we use core values, but they don't tell you what the core values are. And then their core values are diversity, like division, all of these things. Like, okay, well, yeah, then of course you're working on your core values. Our core values are literally gratitude, integrity, value, excellence, and service. So if you meet those core values and you bust your ass every day at work, you're going to have a job here. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care who you pray to. I don't care who you sleep with. Fuck, yeah. I don't even care what drugs you do in your own time.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a stripper and blow habit and you keep it off work hours,
then
that's not my place to say.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, so he's trying to take the opportunity.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is we talk about with the Tradewinds guys all the time. Who did we have the other day? Joe Weevil on the show. He is in North Carolina.
Yep.
Has a black kid working for him. Goes to do a job. The job.
Fired a customer.
Literally the job. He said it was a $7,000 job. I don't know if it was a water heater, pair of water heaters, whatever it was. He said the guy, it's Joe and his apprentice. I don't know if he's an actual apprentice or not. Black kid working with him. Loves the kid. Kid's great, right? Customer drops the N-word with a hard R. Joe looks at him.
Walked away from it.
Walked away from the job.
Yep.
Said, load up.
Yep.
Let's go, guys. Just walked away from the job.
Yeah.
That's integrity.
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, and we celebrate those things. Like, so for those of you that think we're racist or some weird, stupid shit.
No.
Good for him.
I mean,
like,
literally.
That's what you have to do as a business owner.
The conversation on the conversation on his coaching call was, that's badass, and your culture is now forever launched to a new level.
Yeah.
Because everybody in your company knows that you go to bat for your employee no matter what they look like, no matter what they act like, sound like, anything. Right?
Yeah. My first words were, dude, you got to put that in the group.
Yeah.
Guys will love it.
It's badass.
It was.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what a leader does.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what a leader does.
Ironically, the main business topic we wanted to talk about today, even though we're 52 minutes into this thing, the main business
topic.
We got
to start putting up like an on-air clock, and it's like it's a countdown.
Was how to hire and retain top talent. And the story that we just talked about with Joe Weevil is exactly how you do it. You hire and retain top talent by being a badass culture.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Right? Yep. In other words, your employees will run through walls for you if they know you'll run through walls for them. Your employees will do anything you ask of them if they know that you're breaking your back to do everything for them. Now, this doesn't mean you need to cater to them, and it doesn't mean you need to hand them everything on a silver platter. But set some expectations, set some core values, and put some accountability in place, and all of a sudden, you're going to watch your team start to behave differently. And the more you preach your core values, the more you show examples of your core values, the better your guys are going to react, the better they're going to behave, and the right people are going to come to you. We hear all the time through Tradewinds, inquiries, and everything else, like, good help is hard to find. You just can't find anybody that wants to work these days and everything else. There are plenty of businesses out there that have no problems having employees, no problems having people line up to hire there. Yeah. So whenever I hear somebody say nobody wants to work these days, the first thing that pops into my head is they do. They just don't want to work for you.
Yeah. We have guys in Tradewinds that literally have a stack of resumes. Like, hey,
yeah,
when I need to upgrade my team or I need to get another van because call volume's so high, these are the guys that I'm going to interview first. Mm-hmm. I've already spoken with these people because they want to work there. Why? One, good pay.
Yep.
Healthcare. Okay? Doesn't cost that much. Retirement. Retirement's cheap. People come for money, but they stay for culture, just like you were saying.
Yep.
When your boss is, I'm going to use you as an example here. When your boss is cooking breakfast for you on Wednesdays,
yeah,
while you're shooting the shit, they know that you care.
Yep.
When at the end of the year at Christmas time, even if it's not a huge bonus, you hand it to them and say, thank you for this year. We had a great year. And you mean it?
Yeah.
That's culture building.
Yeah.
People stay for culture.
Any decision you're going to make in your company, you need to challenge yourself to say, what is this going to do for culture? Put off your manager hat for a second and put on your leader hat, right? Leadership is seeing things in people that they don't see in themselves and then working with that person to get to the level they didn't know was possible. That's leadership. Management is monitoring KPIs and reprimanding accordingly. Now, there's times for both in business, but the businesses that do better have leadership as the priority. The businesses that struggle have management as a priority. In other words, Let's talk about the difference between leadership and management when it comes to culture and retaining top talent. If David came to me and he said, hey, something's come up. David's my employee.
I work for Mitch. Okay,
and,
here we
go. And he comes to me and he says, hey, something's come up. I can't work today. And my immediate thought is, you need to send off a time off request and I don't know how many paid days off you have left and this is going to fuck my schedule and everything else. I'm a manager, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the first thing that pops into my head is, hey, man, off the record, like, everything good, anything I can help with, you need a ride anywhere, like, you know, let me know. I'm here if you need to talk.
Yeah, and it doesn't even always have to be that. We know how guys are. They don't say those things. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
That's leadership,
yeah,
right? And so we've all been at those places where, like it's funny, there's memes about it. Car's buried in 4 feet of snow.
You didn't
and the
make
boss
it in
is
today?
Like, you're still coming in today, right? As if customers are going to be
no,
there.
No, dog. My fucking...
Right.
No, I'm not.
Right. So, you know, that's the... Like, we call the manager style of that, like the aggressive ones, like boss holes, right? They're assholes that are bosses.
That's... Dude, that's going back.
That's an old... That's a 20-year-old term.
That's more than that. That's probably 30.
But that's kind of the difference between management and leadership. And if you put a focus on leadership, you're going to find that guys enjoy working for you more, and you're going to find that your guys actually perform better, right?
You better say guys and gals. I got drugged last time.
Fuck that.
I know.
Well, so you can comment on if you listen to this on Spotify or iTunes, you can like put comments on there.
I love when I get drugged.
Somebody was trying to drag David for not being...
I think you said this on the last show. We talked about it a little
bit. Yeah, they were trying to drag you for not being sensitive to gender norms or some bullshit. And you're referring to, quote unquote, the guys in the field and all this. And it's like, dude, 99% of tradespeople are guys. And then they also tried to drag you for using the word manpower.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm sorry, but woman power is not in the dictionary. Like, physically, it's not. And
it's
when you
just
look
a
up
phrase.
When you look up the term manpower, it has nothing to do with gender, and it has everything to do with the number of people required to do a task.
Yeah.
Humans.
Do you think when I look at the lawnmower and I say that only has 5 horsepower, you think the lawnmower's upset because it's horsepower,
not
lawnmower
power?
Yeah, or
llama power?
It's so dumb. Stop, people.
Llama power.
Stop.
Right.
You wonder why we have so many fucking problems in this country. It's because of stupid shit like that.
Hey, our own,
it's dumb, dude.
Our own dipshit representative, Emmanuel Cleaver, last year, or what was it, 2 years ago, he kicked off some inauguration or something. What's the race?
I know what you're talking about.
The race that happens the off years of the presidency, like the Senate races or something
like that? Yeah, it was the House and the Senate. I'm trying to think of what he said.
Well, he ended a prayer with amen and a woman.
Yeah, that's
what
it was.
He was trying to assign gender to the ending of a prayer.
Yeah.
Like, when are we going to call it women-strating? Why is it menstruating? When do we call it womenopause instead of menopause?
First
you know
off,
I mean? Like,
if we could change those two terms, I'd be behind it.
It's so fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
Find a word with M-E-N
or M-A-N. He says amen and a woman.
And a woman.
How dumb you got to be,
dude. How fucking stupid.
It's just, stop trying. I know we're getting off topic here. Stop trying to make problems where there aren't problems.
Yeah.
Stop trying to dictate what everyone's thought process should be and then create a divide because of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
So again, on the leadership topic,
that's a bad leader. Yet somehow people keep fucking voting for that idiot.
Well, it's kind of indentured into downtown. Like, all the people that vote smartly don't live inside Kansas City, Missouri.
No, because they don't want to get shot or mugged
or have their $60,000 Jeep stolen and the cops not do shit about it. You know,
yeah,
all those kinds of things, right?
Yeah. Well, we don't know why we can't get people to downtown. We spent $50 billion. Oh, I don't know. There's no fucking cops down there.
Yeah.
It's crime stricken area. Yeah. Like, stop.
Literally, the very last time I had a meal in KC, it cost me $60,000.
Dude,
so
people, that's not true. It is true, but it's not true. Some of the best restaurants are down there. We just don't go.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
But it's like,
dude, we went down there. We stopped at a restaurant.
Why would I risk it?
We went to it's called Sensatia. It's like a it's a 50-50 mix between like a burlesque show and like a Cirque du Soleil show.
Yeah, we talked about
this. Okay, pretty cool. So Danielle and I did that on New Year's Eve, but then we rounded up a whole bunch of friends and we went to another show literally just last Saturday. And Danielle's like, what car are we going to take? We're going to take my car or yours. And I'm like, where are we eating dinner? Because where the show is, you're in a parking garage and it's secured.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, we're going to dinner beforehand. Where are we eating dinner? And she's like, 31st and Gillum. And I'm like, okay, we're not taking your car.
Yeah, we're taking the truck.
And she's like, we're going to have to park that big truck somewhere. I'm like, yeah, because it'll be there when we get out of the restaurant. And she's like, well, I've got this badass alarm on my car now. It'll be there. And I'm like, yeah, it might not have any fucking windows and it's cold. But it'll be there.
Oh,
might not have
gosh.
Any wheels.
I love how she was so hurt about that car getting stolen. She's like, let's take it back.
Well, now that she's got this badass alarm on it, so it.
Don't test the testers.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah, she's got an alarm with, like, an ignition interlock and GPS, and she can turn it off from her cell. Like, turn the car off. No matter what speed the car's going, she can turn it off from her cell phone at any time. So somebody steals it, and they're going 80 miles an hour down the highway. Bloop, bloop. Not anymore. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want to test it.
All I can think of is Joe and I are going to try to hack her phone.
I mean.
And so we could shut you guys down.
How long does it
around.
Take to infiltrate a car with weed? 10 minutes? Like, if your car's been stolen for an hour and a half, you don't want it back. It's gonna smell like shit. It's going to drive like you know it's been an hour and a half at full throttle. It's going to drive like shit. Like, I don't want it back. It's funny.
I'm not going to dive into that with you.
You're not going to take that bait?
I want to.
Yeah.
But we're at an hour.
So
normally I would, but I'm
so
trying to do better here.
We'll get back onto hiring and retaining top talent. So yeah. Other things that happen.
Back
here.
To the guys. Gals.
If you want the top talent, if you want the best guys in your industry, you have to provide the best benefits. That means better health insurance than anybody else is providing. That means better vacation than anybody else is providing. Better paid holidays. Better accommodations as an employee. You know, is everyone else providing a vehicle to take home and you're not? Is everyone else providing uniforms and you're like telling them that they're on their own for jeans? You know, all of those things, right? Is everyone else providing tools and you're like, you got to provide your own tools?
You got to bring your own Spartan. Right.
If everyone else is not running after hours and you are, like, those are all things that change the culture in your company.
Yeah.
A quick sidebar on after hours. Nobody wants to quit more than when they're running an overtime call and they had to leave their family to go run the overtime call.
Man, when I was on my own, just me, and I'm running one at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Even I'm like, man, maybe it's time for a job so I don't have to do this.
We don't run overtime in our business.
It's
we don't
awful.
Run weekends in our business because our guys love their nights and weekends.
HVAC is a little different.
HVAC is a little different, and each market's a little different.
Yeah.
And if you've got commercial clients that need you in the evenings, that's a little different too. But if your business can support no on-call, you're going to love no on-call.
Yeah.
Because an on-call guy might be able to, a technician can run me 15 service calls a week. Okay? Realistically.
Yeah.
A technician who's quit because he got pissed off running on call can run me 0 calls a week. So if I lose a technician because I put him on call, it's now costing me 15 service calls a week.
Yeah.
And what did I gain? Maybe 5 service calls during his on-call rotation.
Yep.
But now it's costing me 15 calls a week every week that he's not there.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just not quite worth it. And I get to say that because I have the luxury. Plumbing is a lot more modern now than it was 20 years ago. It's a lot easier for people to just turn off their water and deal with it tomorrow, not use the toilet, deal with it tomorrow or whatever. But I love retaining guys because of that.
Yeah.
So that's one way we do it. Some other things that we do in our company, and I'm not turning this into like a brag fest for our company. I'm just trying to give you ideas.
Yeah, sure you're not.
Like we pay for their Aflac accident policy. Now, if they want all the other policies, their other indemnity insurance plans, their cancer plans, their accidental death and dismemberment plans and all that stuff, they got to pay for those.
Yeah.
But we cover their accident policy.
It's cheap, too.
And we also cover the employee's health insurance in full at 100%. Now, this is just their health coverage. That's not their family's health coverage. It's not vision and dental. It's not short-term disability, long-term disability, anything like that. But we cover their health insurance in full at 100%. In other words, the message we're sending to our employee is we care about your health on the clock and off.
Yeah.
Right? So we do 2 more paid holidays a year than most companies. Most companies do 6. We do 8. Okay? One of them is the day after Thanksgiving, which is also unheard of in a plumbing company. To close the day after Thanksgiving.
Man, I had 75 people over here and they have shit these toilets up.
Yeah. And we're not open that day because we would prefer to give our guys a 4-day weekend so that they love the company than to go grab a little bit of dollars on that Friday.
If you get a sewer call, will you run it?
No.
You won't?
We don't even answer our phones. We're closed. Hard closed.
Man.
Yeah. No,
lazy.
I used to. When we were first getting started,
lazy.
I would.
Yeah, I know you did.
But the other holiday that we do is we call it a floating holiday. So if you want to extend another holiday by one day, you can. If 4th of July lands on a Friday and you want to take the following Monday off or the Thursday before off, have at it. That's what your floating holiday is for. If Memorial Day and Labor Day.
They're all taking them the same day.
Well, there's still rules for approved time off. But like, you know, Memorial Day and Labor Day are always on a Monday. Well, if you want to take the Friday off and have a 4-day weekend, get it, right? If you want the day after Christmas off or Christmas Eve off, like that's where your floating holiday is for.
Yeah.
So our guys get 8 paid holidays. They get vacation time starting at 30 days of employment. They get insurance immediately upon, well, I say immediately.
It's not immediate.
It's the first of the month following your hire date. So if you hire.
If you get hired on February 28th, the first, you got it.
Those are tough. Those are real tough.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, those are tough to get it paperworked in time.
Yeah.
Usually we'll get a guy hired like mid-month.
You just have a minimum that's like, hey, dude, it's 2 weeks.
Well, we just
we try, but it's a bitch.
We just tell them flat out, like if you're hiring on the last day of the month, it's probably not going to happen. But Yeah. We also, like, as people are talking to us about coming to work here, we encourage for them, because our insurance is going to start on the first of the following month. Don't put in your 2 weeks and don't quit your current place until after the first of the month, because they have to carry your insurance through the rest of that month by law.
Well, and by law, you can also pay for COBRA and get it covered for X amount of months.
You could.
It costs a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, you could. But, like, because we start insurance at 30 days after employment, or the first of the month after employment, if you quit your other employer on the 5th of the month and you start with us on the 6th or the 9th, right? Let's say the 5th is a Friday.
Okay.
7th, 8th, and you're going to start with us on the 9th.
Yeah.
We'll have, like, you'll have insurance through your old employer through the end of the month, and our insurance starts at the beginning of the month. It's little shit like that that sends all the messages to the employee that, like, we got you. We're here for you. We're here to make this a badass place to work for you.
Well, it's culture building day one.
Yes.
Before you even, before your actual day of work, you come in to set a resume. These are what we offer.
Yep.
All of that stuff. The interview process is, we're culture building day one.
Yep.
And people get, if you're excited day one and not all worried.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to probably stay for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the easiest way to say it.
Another phenomenal way to hire top talent is if a guy applies for you and his resume is not all that impressive, but where he works, you're aware that people are there that you like. Another thing you can do is you can sell the hell out of your company during his interview. Even though you don't want to hire him.
Yeah.
You can brag about your company. Don't cut that interview short. Brag and brag and brag about your company, because he's probably going to go back to where he works and he's going to talk. And all of a sudden, now the message gets spread to everyone else there that, oh, wow, this place really takes care of people. And then you tell him, you graciously decline that person and you're like, hey, sorry, it's just not quite what we're looking for right now. But hopefully the message got somewhere else in that organization and the right guy might come along.
Yeah.
Right? They're more senior guy. That's looking for vacation to start right away, that's looking for better benefits, that's looking for less micromanagement, or whatever the case may be, that's looking to get out of an on-call rotation, right? So that is how you hire top talent, and that's how you retain top talent. You hire them by being the best place to work, and you can't just say, like, being the best place to work is not something the owner says. It's not something your mom says either. Like,
no,
your employee, you don't get to determine are you the best place to work. Your employees do.
Yeah.
And so,
and if you think your employees don't talk about it constantly, you're just lying to yourself.
All the time.
You are 100% lying to yourself.
And so you hire them by being the best place to work, and you retain them by having the best culture out there, right?
Yeah.
So
I can hear guys now, they're like, man, do you know how much it costs to have insurance and retirement and these paid vacations and blah, blah, blah? The only thing that's substantial is the health insurance.
Yeah.
401k retirement is cheap as shit, and it dictates that they have to pay into it.
Yeah.
Okay, even if they're at the max they can, you're not hardly paying anything.
Right.
One more floating vacation day, it's a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yep.
But it speaks volumes that you care about your employees.
Right.
All of those fringe benefits other than health insurance are very, very cheap and affordable.
Yeah.
There's no, the only reason you're not doing it is because you're either not making enough money, an asshole, or don't care.
Yeah.
Do not be the guy that won't offer those things and then out the other side of his mouth is like, well, I can't find anybody good to hire.
Yeah.
This day and age is impossible to, I shouldn't say impossible, those are the wrong words. It's very, very difficult to find the really good guys, right? Like, to get them to flow through. Like, say before you had 10 resumes come through, 5 of them were great.
Yeah.
Now 2 of them are great. How do you get those 2?
Yeah.
You have the best culture. You have the best benefits. How do you keep them? You have the best culture. You have the best benefits.
Right.
The window's smaller now. If you want top echelon talent, you have to have top benefits.
Yep.
Top culture. I know I've said that 5 times, but that's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's it. To build a great team, those are the things it takes.
Yeah. And we're not talking speed of building a team either. So
no, we are not.
One final thing that I want to hit on hiring and retaining talent is I am not a fan of hiring bonuses. I have never seen hiring bonuses work in the short term. They get you a warm body on staff. The problem with hiring bonus is
they create animosity when that guy runs his mouth to everyone that's been there for 2 years.
Well, they yes. send the middle finger to your current team.
That's what I mean.
Because it sends the message that we appreciate the new hires more than the guys who have been here for years. But also, it brings a guy to your team for the wrong reasons. He's not coming to you because you have the best culture. He's coming to you for the hiring bonus. And more often than not, guys that come to you for a hiring bonus dip and leave very soon after that bonus time period has passed, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the way hiring bonuses work is it'll be like, it's a $5,000 hiring bonus paid 33% on the day you start and 33% at 6 months and 33% at a year or something like that, right?
Yeah. They can turn their salary from 100 to 110 grand by changing jobs every year.
Yeah.
Like that's literally all they're doing.
So then the moment the final payment of the hiring bonus is out, all of a sudden that guy starts to become hard to manage and everything else because he wasn't working there for the culture. He was working there for the time period that the hiring bonus was. And he's going to start looking elsewhere, right? And so I'm a huge fan of retention bonuses. In other words, every year a guy's there, you give him a thank you bonus, right? It, in the long run, it can be a little bit more expensive than a hiring bonus, but keep in mind, you're only giving this to the guys that are on the best team out there, and it's your job to choose who stays on the team.
Yeah.
And so if you got a guy coming around his anniversary...
And he sucks,
can him before the anniversary date, and you're done. You know? And obviously, you don't want to do this like the day before. Like, you don't want to be a dick. And you don't want it to be a surprise to him. But, like, you want that coming quick. Right. You want that like the moment you recognize somebody's not your caliber, you want to be working to get them off of your payroll quickly.
Yeah. You're looking to upgrade your team.
Yeah. And
like, be aware of your hire dates.
Yeah. And another thing,
and your
too,
anniversary dates. Come on.
Don't be afraid to upgrade your team. If you got a team of B players and you're kicking ass and an A player walks in and you don't have room for them, you're a fool for not hiring the A player. You unplug a B-minus player and you put an A player in his place.
Yeah.
And you just leveled up the team.
Well, it's usually not that simple, but it is that simple if it's a D player.
Yeah.
Like if it's an obvious problem.
Yeah.
Get rid of that motherfucker.
Right.
I mean,
it's your business. You get to do whatever the heck you want.
If you keep, we talk about this a lot on the show. If you keep a cancerous employee around, it's hurting your whole team.
You're going to turn B players into D players real quick if you leave a cancer on your team.
Yeah, you have a D player and you got three A's.
Yep.
Those A's are going to be B's before you know it.
You ever seen a fruit bowl full of oranges and one of them starts to mold?
It's just like potatoes are the worst. Ugh.
Yeah.
One potato gets cancer, they all got it.
And then all of a sudden, every potato that's in contact with that one is now fuzzy.
Ugh. Right? Stinking high heaven.
That's literally a visual representation of what happens in the parking lot when you have a cancerous employee.
Yeah.
That cancerous employee is spreading his negativity and spreading his rumors and spreading his opinions about everybody else in the company in that parking lot.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want as an employer. Not at all. So we're going to let that wrap this up for the show on how to hire and retain top talent. And we are going to go ahead and call this one. So if this show brought you value, if it made you think of things in a different light, if it made you... if it taught you something and it made you, you know, learn something new about business, or you know somebody that would benefit from this show, please do us a favor and help share this show with somebody who needs to hear it. That's how this show grows. So until next time, guys, we will see you later.